Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z, the program that tells it like it is, whether you choose to understand, grasp, appreciate, acknowledge, accept the premise that we hold dear here, that this is still the United States of America. Even though we have a clown in the White House, we have the opportunity to get rid of that clown by voting him out of office this November. Less than 200 days from now, the most critical presidential election in your lifetime. And I know we say that each and every time, but this time it seems to make more sense. Do you really want 4 more years of Bidenomics? Do you want 4 more years of Biden's inflation, which now officially, according to the Department of Labor, the Congressional Budget Office, and economists around the globe now say that the average of the price increases in all categories, thanks to Joe Biden's Bidenomics, is over 19%, near 20. So imagine anything you bought 4 years ago while Donald Trump was the president is now nearly 20% higher on average. Fuel prices are double. Egg prices are more than double, almost triple. Those are just 2 items right there. And I could go down an entire list of over 161 items that are at least 10% higher since Joe Biden took office 3 short years ago than they were when Donald Trump was your president. I could do that, but I'm not going to waste your time. You go to the grocery store, you fill up your vehicle with fuel, you've tried to book an airline ticket or a hotel room or eat at a restaurant. You may have gone shopping for furniture or a new motorcycle or a jet ski or a snowmobile or a new lawnmower. You know, something you need instead of something you want. The Biden presidency is almost a mirror image of the Obama presidency, except Obama did have the economy moving in a decently correct direction. This truly is an Obama shadow government. And if you don't believe that, I don't know what else to tell you. Over 70% of Biden's cabinet members are former Obama cabinet members or staffers or major contributors to the Obama campaign. You just need to look on Google. You can do that. You can go on any of the search engines, pick any of the cabinet members or their immediate direct underlings. You can look at any of the major players in the Biden cabinet, the Biden administration itself, inside the Biden White House, advisors and associate assistant directors of or assistant secretary of. And you will find a direct connection to Barack Hussein Obama and his husband slash wife, Michael or Michelle, depending on which publication you read. Mr. Biden's presidency is being covered up for by the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke news media. If Donald Trump spits out a piece of gum in the grass in a forest somewhere, there are 90 reporters there to call him a bird killer, a polluter, a horrible anti-environmental president. They will call him a crook. They will call him every name in the book. Joe Biden launders hundreds of billions of your tax dollars to his buddy in a nation that is not even a member of NATO or even an ally of the United States of America, a Russian satellite country called the Ukraine, because his son had a crooked business deal that put him on the board of directors of the National Natural Gas Energy Company in the country of Ukraine with no experience whatsoever in the natural gas business or the energy sector whatsoever. He's on the board of directors of a major national gas company. Doesn't speak the language. Doesn't know the first damn thing about natural gas or energy at all. And then, because things go sideways, thank you, because things go sideways with that company, and the government has a regime change, an already corrupt government changes to the current corrupt government, run by a former stand-up comedian, a buddy, a pal of the Obamas and the Bidens, and not a single media organization does any real investigative journalism, no investigation, no looking into it at all. They believe the liar in chief, the guy who claims his uncle was eaten by cannibals because he was shot down as a pilot of a World War II airplane, and we find out those were all lies. Lieutenant Finnegan was a courier, a message boy, an errand boy, bringing a piece of paper from one military base to another. Not a combat veteran, not a hero in any way. Lieutenant Finnegan, Uncle Bozy, as Mr. Biden calls him, was a passenger, not even part of the flight crew, much less the pilot. A captain or Lieutenant Pierce was the pilot of the not single engine, single passenger warplane that Biden lied about. Biden claims his Uncle Bozy was the pilot of a single engine warplane who got shot down in a fierce air battle over Papua New Guinea in the Western Pacific during World War II. And that he was shot down over the island and cannibals ate his body. The actual official documentation from the National Archives and Records Administration, from the U.S. War Department from that era, says that Lieutenant Finnegan, Uncle Bozy, was a courier, a message boy, an errand boy. And he was sitting in the back of the plane, and that it was a twin-engine plane, not a single-engine plane. And he was being ferried from one military installation to another to deliver some pieces of paper, you know, like a newspaper boy. And the plane experienced engine failure over the open ocean. There was no air battle. There was no enemy aircraft. There was no shooting down of Pilot Pierce's plane. There was a gunner, there was a flight engineer, the pilot, that made up the three-man crew. And Bozy was a courier, a passenger on the plane. The plane allegedly crashed hard into the ocean, sunk to the bottom of the ocean, and all four people on board perished. But Biden would have you think that Uncle Bozy was a hero, because Biden can't tell the truth ever. Even if the truth made him look good, Biden would prefer to, as a pathological liar, tell you some manufactured, made-up fairy tale that he thinks, A, you're stupid enough to believe, and B, he thinks it would make him look better. Because you see, Joe Biden has always been a disliked little loser. He was one of those kids that nobody liked in school. He was smaller than everyone else, so he had to give himself a nickname. They didn't nickname him Scrappy Joe. That's something he called himself in order to keep the bigger kids from whooping his ass. So he told big, bold stories about the bear he killed, or about the mountain lion he wrestled, hoping that the bigger kids would be stupid enough to believe the lies and not mess with him. Then when he got older, Joe, Little Joe, figured out he could blackmail people to get things done his way. He could help a bigger kid with his math homework. Maybe the bigger kid would protect him from other bullies. And he turned that into a 50-plus year career. Stand by. For those of you new to the Truth Hurts program, and to those of you who have been listening for a while, please accept my apology. When I do the program from the front seat of the old F-250 driving down the road, and someone calls in, the ringing sound occurs, and I have to answer the phone. So I have to put you on the side for just a moment. My apologies. I haven't figured out a way to cancel incoming calls or texts while doing the program hands-free, and it takes me a second to remove the phone from the handset cradle and silence the ringer. So again, I apologize. So Joe Biden has made his entire political career, 50 plus years, taking your tax money, your lunch money, basically, in exchange for him supposedly representing you when he's only representing himself. Pretty neat trick, if you ask me. And that neat trick relies on getting stupid people to A, believe his lies, B, accept him as a leader because he tells you he's intelligent, and C, having enough stupid people believe the BS and vote him year after year, decade after decade, half century, and then some, into political positions where he controls aspects of your individual lives, promising you he's going to make things better, when in reality, all you need to do is look in your wallet, your savings account, look at your credit card debt, and realize that you are not better off. You are in fact worse off, but he has become better off because of your ignorance for voting him into a position. That's the reality of Joe Biden. In the United States of America, we don't teach our children, when you make a mistake, own up to it, apologize for it, take corrective action, and you will be better off. We simply don't teach that notion to our children. Instead, we teach our children, if you made a mistake, cover it up, make an excuse for it, lie about it, and hope everybody around you is dumb enough to believe your lie and your cover-up, and hopefully you'll get away with it. And if you get away with it once, and you've gained personally, financially, politically, socially, from that mistake that you successfully covered up and lied about, then you can try again for a bigger prize. That's what happens in America. Instead of the average American citizen who voted for Joe Biden, supposedly, this last go-round, admitting, oops, we effed up, we shouldn't have voted for this guy, we are far worse off under this guy than we were under the last guy, let's make a change, let's do some critical thinking and realize, hey, I was much better off 4 years ago with the other guy, and now I have a chance to put the other guy back in office? Instead of doing that, many Americans will say, well, I'll look like an idiot if I voted for Biden last time and I vote for Trump this time. I would feel like people will see the mistake that I made. So many people will double down this election and once again vote for Joe Biden. Not for the wonderful things he's done, because he has done no wonderful things. Not because they, the voters, are better off than they were. You simply need to look at your checking account. Excuse me, your savings account. Your credit card debt. Your empty pockets. And know that you were better off 4 years ago. But you see, that would mean you, conditioned and programmed the way you have been all of your life, would have to admit that you were wrong, that you made a mistake. So instead of admitting the mistake and taking the corrective action of voting for the right guy this time, saying, yep, I was wrong. Most of the Americans who voted for Biden last time, despite being far worse off financially, despite having a higher crime rate, despite having 110 to 180 million illegal immigrants in the country who have already broken one law by breaking into the country unlawfully and are out there committing multiple crimes each and every day here, bringing in drugs, human trafficking of little girls who they rape along the way, these voters would rather vote for Biden again and say, well, maybe he'll get better this go round. Why? Because their upbringing, their parents or parent or grandmama, be done taught them, if you get caught, deny everything, make up a good lie and hope they believe you. And that's the mentality of many Democratic Party voters. They don't want to admit that they effed up the first time, that they made a mistake, that they voted for the wrong guy. And many in the Democratic political party, way up high in the party, are shaking their heads going, God, I can't believe that this guy Biden even has a chance. But we're stuck with him now, so let's stick with him now. And they know they should have just let Trump properly win the election without all of the interference, without all of the fraud, without all of the irregularities that occurred in the last election. And right now, they would be looking at the end of the Trump presidency. They would have looked at a much weaker Mike Pence, and they could have put up a real Democrat challenger instead of a feeble old guy like Joe Biden, who cheated his way into the presidential primaries last go round, and has cheated his way into election, and has sat there for the last 3+ years lying to you, telling you that you're better off, and the stupider half of the country, despite being broke, despite being victims of more and more crime, somehow they believe his lies. It's a page out of the old Democrat Party playbook. Make up a lie that makes you look good and makes the other guy look bad. Repeat the lie often enough, and people will start to believe. And those people who start to believe, even when faced with the reality that that belief is a lie, cannot admit that they were wrong. Once you put the truth in front of them, they will deny the truth because they've heard the lie so very many times that they will say, no, the truth mustn't really be the truth because this network said it or that network said it or another person told them the lie was reality and the truth is false. I hope I'm not losing any of you out there. When I was a kid, there was a song by Steely Dan, the band. Ricky, don't lose that number. Oh, I hated that song. I didn't like the melody. I didn't like the singer's voice. I didn't like anything about that song. But at the time, it was the number one hit on AM radio, WTIX AM radio, 690 on your AM dial, and they played it at least once every hour. And since I was a young kid, I didn't have control of the radio knobs, the buttons. I couldn't simply reach over and change the station and turn off that horrific, terrible song, Ricky Don't Lose That Number. I hated that song. But after you hear it over and over and over again, it gets stuck, that melody, that tune, that song, those lyrics in the back of your brain. And I heard it on the radio yesterday on the classic rock station. And part of me still despised it, but I had heard it so many times through my life that the song is actually a part of my mind. And I caught myself tapping my foot and actually humming the tune, and it actually became an earworm to me yesterday afternoon. I couldn't get the stupid song out of my head. Psychologists will tell you. Psychiatrists will tell you. Neuroscientists like Mayim Bialik will tell you that if you hear something over and over and over again, eventually you will begin to like that which you hate, and you will begin to hate that which you like. You will even begin to hate things that are beneficial to you if some one thing about that beneficial thing gets on your nerves. I could not stand Donald Trump when he was on The Apprentice. I thought, who is this cocky, arrogant, egotistical, brash prick to have his own television show with a bunch of fake celebrities that he has the willpower, or the power in general, to just fire at will because he didn't like the way they did this, or they did that, or they did the other thing. It made no sense to me. None whatsoever. I couldn't stand his attitude. You fired. And that voice drove me nuts. I couldn't stand the guy. In fact, when he first started running for president, he thought about running as a Democrat. He really did. Which party can I manipulate to become the presidential candidate? But his ideals, his idealistic nature, his business acumen, his success in business, and yes, some of his failures in business, all proved that he truly belonged in the Republican Party, the party that rewards success, fires the unsuccessful, fires the crooks, the criminals, puts only capable and qualified leaders in positions to run his various operations. Made sense to be a Republican. Nobody on the Republican side or the Democrat side, and certainly no independent voter, thought Donald Trump had a chance of becoming the president. They knew he was a great businessman. They knew he was a very powerful leader who could push his way through a crowd and get to the front of any room, take the attention away from everyone, and suck all of the oxygen out of the room by his mere presence. But they didn't give him a chance. They didn't say in any fashion that he could possibly be the president. Then when he got the Republican nomination, the haters, the jealous, envious haters, like little fat boy Chris Christie. Oh yeah? Well, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure this guy doesn't. Oh, wait, you want me? You want me to be in your cabinet? Okay. Those who he chose to assist him in his first run for presidency were rewarded just like any president rewards those who support him with various titles and positions, ambassadorships, cabinet-level positions, etc. After all, they were qualified enough to get into the presidential primaries and remain there towards the end. But you would not want someone in your cabinet, on your administration, in your inner circle, who cut you down and bashed you and insulted you and ridiculed you and mocked you and called into question your ability to lead. It is a chess game, the politics game is. Just look at Chris Christie, who now only has the ability to be on the opposing network of the party in power. Chris Christie can never run for a political office again and be successful. He chose the wrong side. He chose to bash Donald Trump. Chris Christie will never be the president of the United States. And ever since he was the little fat kid on the playground that nobody liked, the bully, as he got bigger and fatter and got to push around the younger, smaller children, wormed his way into politics. Chris Christie got as high as he could get. Governor of the corrupt state of New Jersey, hoping to be the president. His mommy said, "You can be anything you want."
"Can I be the president one day?"
"Yes, you can, little Chris." Little Chris will never achieve that goal and will forever be bitter. But had he chosen to support Donald Trump, had he chosen to say nice things, be supportive, he might have been a decent choice for vice president this go-round. Look at Nikki Haley. I liked Nikki Haley for a while till I started digging into her politics, her positions on things, her viewpoints. And when she turned against Donald Trump and refused to bow out of the race and chose to insult Donald Trump and to call into question his leadership ability and go negative, to go anti-Trump, well, Nikki Haley signed her own fate. She will never be the president of the United States. She will never, unless some more liberal-thinking Republican in name only gets into office 8 years from now, decides to choose her as a running mate because they need a vagina on the ticket. Chances are her political career is done. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is a mafia figure and you mess with the Godfather, you're going to get a horse's head in your bed. I'm not saying that. But it happens in every political party, in every race. You have to support the candidate that your party has chosen. You have to support that candidate wholesale, lock, stock, and barrel. Come hell or high water. Because if you don't, why would that candidate, if successful, ever want you on his team? It will forever be said that you were the member of his team who didn't like him, who didn't support him, who didn't work with him. It will forever be said that you are not a team player. And that's what these Chris Christies, what these Nikki Haleys need to learn. They will never be the president, but they will also probably never gain any position higher than the last one they achieved because of their disloyalty to the Republican Party. And that's the way it should be. All right, my friends, we're coming up to that time of the morning where we have run out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. The opinions I express on this program are mine. They do not reflect any of the other media outlets upon which this program is provided. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. This program is pre-recorded. If you like what you hear, tell a friend. If you don't like what you hear, who cares? We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening.
Copyright 2024, The Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. Background music, Jason Shaw and Audionautics.